Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, August 7th, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I am peachy.
Excellent. I'm so glad you're here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
You mean it's not July anymore? Oh my, I have to change my checkbook.
I know. You're... yeah, are you going to pull out your quill to do that?
I have plenty in my collection to choose from.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'll get my wall calendar changed before September.
Are you guys like using stone knives and
bearskins? You mean the one with Betty Grable on it, Jeff Butts?
No, actually, it's a Star Wars. But man, I should get a Betty Grable.
I don't even know you people. Anyhow, hey, what I wanted to talk about today, first up is something that John, I think, is going to make you very happy. So there's the HomePod firmware that Apple accidentally leaked. And yes, I totally believe it was an accident. My feeling is if you really think that Apple releases on purpose, you're getting way too conspiracy theory with the way Apple releases information.
Where was it found? You didn't mention that in the article.
Oh, it's in the HomePod firmware.
No, but I mean, where was the firmware leaked?
It was leaked through Apple's own servers. So the working hypothesis is that Apple needed to have this to push out to their own internal people that are currently testing HomePod.
Oh.
And someone accidentally posted it, so it was also publicly visible.
Oh.
And my guess is that person has been polishing up their resume over the past few days.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, I feel really bad for the person because, you know, it's mistakes happen. But, man.
I'm sorry, but mistakes with major unreleased software don't just happen.
Yeah. Well, so there are some unfortunate repercussions, which include someone probably lost their job. But the other side of it is people have been able to really dig through the HomePod firmware. And one of the things that they found over the weekend were references to a 4K Apple TV and HDR support.
I know it. HDR 10 support and Dolby. And they're looking for other stuff.
Right. So the way it stands right now with the information that they have gleaned so far, Apple TV will have a leg up on some of the other media boxes because it supports multiple standards, which also means that you can get content from multiple sources and still have it in HDR. So you'll be able to get content from Apple, content from Netflix, and content from Amazon.
Well, that's one reason why you're going to need a new Apple TV, because Dolby Vision not only requires licensing, but requires a dedicated chip. And the current Apple TV doesn't have that hardware in it.
Yeah, good point. Yes. Yeah. This also means it'll support a wider range of televisions than some other products.
So. Well, just about every TV nowadays ships with HDR10. I can't think of any that don't anymore. The question is Dolby Vision, which is still kind of scarce, but it's sort of forward-leaning. Mm-hmm. And some of the studios favor it, but it's not on every TV that you can buy. Right. And it's because it requires a license fee to Dolby. And some TV makers don't think it's important enough to put on there. Others want to be state-of-the-art, like Sony, LG.
Mm-hmm. So John, what you just said right before that little part, I think is really important, which is that there's a special chip that we need in our Apple TVs, and the fourth-gen Apple TV does not have it.
Also, I I could be wrong, but I seem to recall that H.265, HEVC, high efficiency video codec, requires hardware to do its job the best to achieve the compression and decompression rates that are desirable. So probably dedicated HEVC hardware in the next generation Apple TV 2. I know it. I was so disappointed in 2016. You know, Apple was lingering with the Apple TV. They were lingering with the Macintosh. We were wondering what was going on with Apple. They weren't shipping any new products. And then all of a sudden, WWDC, and everything was right with the world again. And now everything looks like it's going to be right with the Apple TV. I'm so excited. Because what we've got is we got every new TV on the market is 4K. They almost all have HDR10. The Blu-ray, Ultra HD Blu-ray players have been shipping for about a year now. We've got all sorts of different audio video receivers now, like Denon and so on, that support not only 4K, but support Dolby Vision and HDR10 throughput. And so now we've got the complete package. If you're an Apple TV fan, soon, apparently, and I predict in time for Christmas. Yay!
Yeah.
That seems like a reasonable time frame, in time for the holiday buying season.
Yeah.
You know what else is incorporated? I've never heard of it, but maybe John has. Hybrid Log Gamma.
Yes, I have. HLG.
HLG.
So, yeah, John,
it's a way to do, as I recall, I'm a little fuzzy on this now because I haven't talked about it in a long time. As I recall, it's a way to do high dynamic range in software through streaming that doesn't require any special jumping through hoops on the TV's part.
So does that mean that if you have a TV that may not be 4K, that you could still get some sort of enhanced image quality because this can do some of the processing for you?
That I can't answer. You know, whether HLG works with high definition TVs, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and listen to my background mode with David Katzmeier from CNET. Maybe we talked about that. That's a good question. I'll look into that.
Cool. Well, actually, since that was a really interesting background mode, we should include a link to that in today's show notes.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I'll make sure that's there. All right. So do you guys think that Apple is too late to the game with 4K, or are they going to be okay?
I think they're going to be okay.
I think they're going to be okay, too, because it's never too late for Apple to get in and do things.
Right.
Because of customer loyalty.
And they're going to be offering three different HDR formats in the device.
Oh, three?
Yeah. HLG, according to Ultra HD 4K News, is considered an HDR standard.
Oh, okay. So then yeah, that would be three HDR formats.
Yep.
All right. Do you guys think that this means that it will be easier for people that want to be cord cutters to do so?
Oh, absolutely, because cord cutters are kind of a little more technical and geekier, I think, than people who just settle for a coax cable and whatever.
And, yeah, I mean, if they want to be cord cutters and get 4K and HDR, yeah, then yeah, it'll make it a lot easier.
So I've been researching, as the listeners and readers know, 4K for quite a long time. And what's been holding me back is a little bit of finances, because with the 4K TV I won from Sony, it's unbelievably expensive right now because it's OLED. Mm-hmm. And if you thought the OLED iPhone 8 was going to be expensive, just figure out what a 55 or 65 inch OLED TV costs.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, I don't even want to go there.
But before you can start designing a system and figuring out how you're going to get it, you got to think about 4K support from Apple and HDR support as well. So I think that's sort of a gate. That's sort of a threshold device.
All right. So I'm assuming this fall in time for the holiday buying season, we'll have Apple TV 5, which will support Amazon Prime, because we're going to get that as part of tvOS. What version are we up to now? Is it tvOS 11?
I thought it was 10.10. Three something.
No, I mean the new version that's coming out.
The new version, I believe it's 11.
TVOS, I think it's 11.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up anymore. Anyhow, so TVOS 11, when that's available this fall, then we have an Apple TV that supports Amazon Prime natively. And to me, that's like the ultimate cord cutter box. So you'll have something that supports Apple Music and iTunes Store, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and a whole slew of channels, plus it'll do 4K.
As an aside, I also read a rumor that the iPhone 8 will support 4K at 60 frames per second.
Wow. You're going to need a lot more storage in your phone.
So it's going to be pretty complete. High Sierra and the iPhone and the Apple TV are all going to be on the same page.
We're going to see 1 terabyte iPhones.
Yeah. An iPhone that comes with a data storage that's tethered and sits in your pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this new Apple TV. And the funny thing is, I don't even have a 4K TV, but I'm still excited about the new Apple TV. So,
I don't have a 4K TV, but I have a 4K monitor.
Oh, see, and then you could plug the Apple TV into
that monitor. I can plug it into my monitor. I mean, my TV is an old Sanyo, not even a flat screen, and I haven't turned it on in 2 months.
Yeah, my Sony Bravia, it's a beautiful LCD television, but it's smaller than my display for my computer.
Yeah, I just watch everything on my monitor.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So, Jeff, you are our resident technology tinkerer, I suppose.
Yeah.
You started messing around with Arduino.
I have.
All right. So this, even though Arduino is a different platform, it's totally ties in. And
Because you can program it from your Mac.
Right, and it works with HomeKit now.
Yes.
So, anyhow, what have you been up to?
Well, I've just started getting my feet wet. No Starch Press sent me a book to review called The Arduino Inventor's Guide.
Okay.
So I reached out to Spark Fun Electronics, which this book references, and I asked them if they would send me their inventor's kit to use in following along in the examples in the book. And they did.
All right. That's awesome. Now, what's in the inventor's kit?
It includes an Arduino, SparkFun's custom red board, which is like an Arduino Uno.
Okay.
It also includes a whole bunch of jumper wires, a breadboard, various sensors, transistors, an LCD screen, a temperature sensor, a motor, a servo, diodes, basically everything you need to start playing around with electronics using Arduino.
Okay. Now, for the people that aren't familiar with Arduino at all, what exactly is an Arduino?
It is a prototyping microprocessor board. It's not a full-blown computer, but it has a lot of computing capability. You program it using the C programming language.
Okay.
And it has registers. It has analog and digital inputs and outputs. So it can read voltage. It can read data. And then you can manipulate that data with programming.
Okay. So this is not like a Raspberry Pi, because a Raspberry Pi is a full-on computer that's about the size of a deck of cards.
Yeah,
a
Raspberry Pi, you can actually run Ubuntu on. I've even seen people trying to install Mac OS on a Raspberry Pi. I don't think there's been any success yet, but they've come close.
Which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Arduino is more of an electronics inventor's tool.
Right. Okay. So you make some sort of electronic device, and an Arduino can be at the core of it or right. part of it.
Right.
Okay. So now that we've got some foundation to work from here, what have you been doing?
The latest thing that I did, and this was actually not in the book at all, I created an electronic device that would read the temperature in my room and display it on the LCD screen.
Okay.
And next, I will be incorporating Bluetooth into that so that it transfers, so that it transmits the temperature data to HomeKit.
Okay. So this is where it went from cool to like really freaking cool, because you just said that you've been able to design like your own mini weather monitoring system, temperature monitoring system.
Yeah.
And you can hook it up to HomeKit now.
Yeah, it's really cool. Basically, I can create my own version of the Eve temperature with about $35, $40 worth of parts.
All right. And but of course, the trade-off is you have to build it yourself, and it doesn't
have to build it myself, have to program it. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in the market for like a room sensor, and you don't feel like starting from scratch, then products like the Eve Room and the Eve Temperature are still a good choice.
Oh, sure.
But for what you're doing, where you want to go under the hood and learn how all this stuff works.
Yes.
You now have an easy way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this Arduino is a tinkerer's paradise.
To me, it seems like a perfect match for Raspberry Pi, because Raspberry Pi is like the perfect tinkerer's computer.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the perfect add-on for that.
Right. And you know, they can work hand in hand, because you can run Homebridge, which is used to kind of bridge the gap between non-HomeKit devices and iOS's HomeKit. Mm-hmm. You can run that Homebridge software on a Raspberry Pi.
Right. That's exactly what I'm doing. So yeah. I can use Siri to control the Wemo switches that I have set up throughout my house because they're not HomeKit compatible. Even when Wemo releases their HomeKit bridge that will make my devices HomeKit compatible, my older one still won't be. So I'll still need Homebridge.
Right.
It's very cool. Okay. This is now something that you can use to create all different kinds of HomeKit devices yourself. But not like you're making commercial products. Just right. At home, you want to experiment with automation or
yep.
sensing. You can now do that and tie it directly into HomeKit.
Right. Apple only licenses this use for non-commercial use. You don't have to buy Apple's special HomeKit chip for a non-commercial product. I just couldn't go on Etsy or somewhere else and sell these.
Right. Okay. I could
probably sell the plans for them, though.
Sure. I bet you could, because you're not actually selling a product.
Yeah.
Or not. You're not selling a functioning HomeKit product.
Right.
You're selling the knowledge.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
I do, too. It's fun.
All right, so what's next on your Arduino HomeKit list?
You know what I'm thinking about doing is making my own recording sign, recording lit up sign, excuse me, to put on my door for when I'm recording a podcast so my roommates don't knock on my door.
Ah, so you could be sitting at your desk, say, "Hey Siri, I'm podcasting," and then the light starts flashing. Whoops, sorry, turned over my iPhone.
Yep,
my iPhone was trying to figure out what I meant right there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Oh Siri.
Go away, Siri.
Anyhow, here's a pro tip that I have to remind people of regularly. And when I say remind people, I say it out loud to remind myself. If you take your iPhone and you set it face down on a surface, Siri stops listening.
Yep.
I need to remember to do that.
Unless you say Rumpelstiltskin, then it starts to listen.
That's a totally different thing.
It's a neat trick I found.
I was wondering when John was going to jump in with something obtuse and profound.
Yeah. All right, John. So you've been very quiet during our Arduino and HomeKit discussion, and we're pretty much out of time. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to toss in bits of wisdom aside from Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, I think it's great, and it reminds me of the old HeathKit days from Radio Shack, where you could tinker and mess with electronics. It's the new HeathKit, I guess.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it is. It's so much fun.
It's what I don't do yet is get a lot of plates spinning in the house, because I've already so many plates spinning, I worry about keeping them all spinning at the same time, because if one stops spinning, everything stops. Mm. So I tend to be more streamlined in my approach. Yeah, but that's just me.
No, you're getting old. You can't handle
it. We're all getting old, and at the same rate, sir.
That's true.
Oh, wow. Well, we went from really fun to I'm suddenly feeling bad about my age.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, John.
All right. Well, on that creepy note, we are out of time.
John,
thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure. It was fun as usual.
And and Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And as you come up with more of these fun little projects, I want you to talk about them.
Okay.
So so you'll definitely be back to discuss these things.
Cool.
And I'll make sure that there's a link to John's Background Mode podcast that we mentioned earlier, and we really are out of time. So listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.